Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe, Tasmanian Devin, and I'm so pumped to be continuing on this deep dive series with our friends over at Cultivate Advisors with my special guest co-host, Jamie Rowe. I'm so pumped to have leaders from Cultivate Advisors joining us today and on the upcoming series moving forward. Over the years, they've identified five key stages of the entrepreneurial journey, including unique pitfalls, challenges, and opportunities that plague business owners along the way. I'm stoked to be building from episode number one. Go back and check it out, AOC Tribe. This series is going to feature personal stories from owners in your same position who have fought through the challenges we all face in this industry, and with the help of Cultivate, came out the other end with a better entrepreneur and owner. So today, we get to start meeting the owners that are part of the Cultivate team. And on this episode, we're going to be meeting Nicole Domage of Merge Architecture and the team behind Cultivate Advisors and finding out more about their story and what they do. Make sure to go back and listen to episode number one, introducing the Deep Dive Series hosts and the story, putting this all together. So Jamie, here we go. Tell me about Cultivate Advisors, who you guys are, and what you're all about.
Oh, awesome. Thank you for the introduction, Devin. I love your energy. If you could pass some of that over today, that is awesome. Great description also. So Cultivate Advisors, we are a national connection in for business entrepreneurs looking to grow and expand their business. And really, we give business owners clarity into their business so they can make great decisions. And we're advisors. It's kind of a cross between a consultant and a coach. We're a consultant, we're rolling up our sleeves, and as a coach, soundboarding, moving people forward towards the goals and how to propel their business forward. So kind of in essence, we're helping business owners grow and scale their businesses beyond their wildest dreams. And we work with a large number of businesses in the trade industries. It's one of the reasons why we connected with you, Devin, and that really our clients, if you look at statistics, if a client's been with us for 12 months or longer, they're going to see on average a 65% increase in their revenue. And the best part is they're also going to see a 108% on average increase in profit. Because we know that revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king. So with that, we have someone very exciting with us today. I can't wait. So the last deep dive series we talked about of all five stages of the entrepreneurial journey. So today what we're doing is we're rolling into stage one and two. One is the hustler, two is the experimenter. And I'm just super excited today. We've got Nicole Domage with us, and she's a co-owner of Merge Architecture. They specialize in architecture and planning for cannabis facilities of all types, not only in the US, but internationally. And Nicole's going to tell us today about some of her challenges from moving from that hustler to the experimenter in these last 2 years. She's in an industry that's grown very quickly. So, and also just for everyone as a reminder that the hustler, the difference between a hustler and experimenter is, and a hustler is someone, it's just them on their own. They don't have any employees. It's all about, you know, sales, productivity. Maybe you're working not only during the week, but on the weekends too. As you start moving.
No,
working on the weekends. Devin, you've never worked on a weekend, have you?
I never stop hustling.
you're always hustling, right? So, with that, so Nicole has moved into experimenter stage, bringing on an employee, also bringing on a contractor. We're going to talk about some of those types of challenges and exciting things that have happened, and some great moments in there too. So anyone listening, this is a priceless podcast for all you hustlers out there and your experimenters too, or people thinking about to hiring someone. Nicole's going to give us some great insights into that.
Or if you're starting a new business and you want to hustle and keep working around, the five stages all intertwined. But first, let's get to know a little bit about Nicole. Welcome to the show, Nicole. What's your favorite beverage?
I love a cocktail called the Truro, which is basically a Manhattan where you replace the maraschino cherry with cherry liqueur.
Mm. I want one. I love Manhattans, and I've never. So yes, that's please. Number one on the list. Thank you. Yes, please. What? Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
The place that comes to mind that is special in my memory is Talkeetna, Alaska.
Wow. We got to hear a story from Talkeetna, if I said that
Talkeetna,
right.
Talkeetna, yeah. It has a view of Denali. It's a small town. I don't actually know a lot about the history of the town other than they host a cross-country ski race every year. And it is a great destination place to go if you love cross-country skiing.
Awesome. So that must be one of your passions. So what is your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction silos we're breaking down every day and we passionately call the Art of Construction Tribe?
Well, it's related to Talkeetna. I love cross-country skiing at night to a cabin.
Hmm. Cool. Very specific, and she knows what she likes. Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about Nicole. I'm so excited to sit back and listen and have you go back and forth with Jamie and talk through stages 1 and 2. Let's hustle and talk about experimenting.
Thank you, Devin. Awesome. Okay, Nicole, let's just kick it off by, I want to know a little bit more about the business. Like I kind of shared a little bit high level. I want to know how you got started because I think it has a unique beginning to it. And why you got into the business in the first place. Let's kick it off there.
Why I got into the architecture business in the first place is because I started my career after college as a manual laborer. And I did that for about 2 years. And 2 years was long enough to tell me that I needed to figure out what I was actually going to do with my life. I moved into architecture because when I was starting to think about my future, I was working as a tree planter in northern British Columbia, and I got promoted. I was the camp coordinator, so I got to decide where the solar showers were set up and where the cook tent would be placed and where everyone would set up their living quarters, their vans and their tents and that sort of thing. And one day I came to me, I was like, how do I get to set up camp every single day? And one of my coworkers said, you should be an architect. And for some reason, that was the moment when I decided I wanted to be working in how to build amazing places.
So it started with planting trees.
It did.
It sounds like, how can I keep doing this? I love this. You know, that intuition, like, I like this. I want more of it. How can I do that? Okay, beautiful, wonderful. So that's how it started. How did it transition into Merge? Walk us through that.
I've been working as an architect for other architects and for myself for about 20 years. And I had a past client who I really loved. And they were transitioning into the marijuana business and they needed an architect. I had not worked on a project in that industry before, but I was interested in supporting that client. And I was also interested in learning about a new industry. So one marijuana project led to the next marijuana project. And now we're experts in an emerging and growing field.
Okay, fantastic. So you're doing like dispensaries, like could you give some examples of that?
Yes, we do every building type that touches cannabis. So dispensaries, extraction facilities, research laboratories, testing laboratories, cultivation facilities, whether they're indoor, greenhouse, or outdoor, dispensaries, you name it.
The whole kit and caboodle from tip to tail, it sounds like too. Okay, fantastic. Awesome. So when you initially started the business, so this is the very beginning, you know, you've had this one client, you wanted to support them. What were some of the things that were maybe frustrating or challenging right when you're kicking off?
Honestly, starting a small business initially by myself, the most frustrating part was knowing that I was not the only person in the world who'd ever started a small business, but I felt alone and I didn't know what I didn't know. Hmm. So that was really challenging at the beginning. And there was a lot of research and reading and reaching out to friends and mentors. But still, it was, the learning curve was really steep, and I was challenged every day.
Yeah. You know, and that's such a great insight and tip, because it is lonely. It can be very lonely. And I see so many entrepreneurs that don't reach out for help. So kudos to you for reaching out, right? How many hustlers go out there for years and don't ask for help? So that's incredible. Reaching out to mentors, friends, whoever, you know, anyone that can help and be a guide to guide you to that next phase. So yeah, sure. Any challenges? You're doing everything. You're the chief bottle washer. You're the sheriff. You're, you know, running the grocery store. You're doing everything in the business. So, and also thinking about too, as you started the business, you're having limited resources, right? And in terms of what was that like, what were you able to leverage in the beginning as you first started running the business with limited resources?
Well, beyond the some of the typical things like running my business out of my dining room and, you know, using folding tables, I really quickly learned that having trusted independent contractors was the best way for me to staff up quickly and flexibly. That was my... It actually was challenging at first because I wanted to have control, more control over everything that, but I really learned quickly that I had to let go of having everything within arm's reach and reach out and have other folks who also specialize and are really good at what they do support me as an independent contractors. That was the first aha moment. And it was actually the first time I really felt like I had a break from just being completely by myself.
Sure.
And then the next step was incredible. I started collaborating with other architects, and collaboration meant that we were in it together and we were both responsible for the outcome. So, you know, taking that step from hiring an independent contractor to do a piece of the work to actually having someone to share the responsibilities with and the outcome with, that's been really powerful.
Sure. Yeah. And I understand where it sounds like kind of to have a little bit more control, especially with cash flow at the beginning, right? Sometimes it's kind of a roller coaster. So having a contractor instead of hiring a full employee on full time, having contractors so ebb and flow has projects come in and out. Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit, that particular part there. It's when you first hired someone, because you now have one employee, correct?
I have a partner now, and we have an employee.
Yes, you have a partner and employee. So talk to me a little bit about the struggles with hiring, because that's a big fear a lot of people. What if I don't get the right person? What if they want too much money? What, you know, what's going to happen there? So could walk me through some of those struggles with that and what you learned.
Our first hire was honestly relatively easy because it was someone we had worked with before in previous employment situations. And the struggle there was the learning curve of transitioning from the types of architecture projects that particular employee had worked on previously and training them to know more about the cannabis industry and what we all needed to know to become good at the work that we do with our clients now. We did make an attempt to do a second hire, and we chose to wait because we learned that we needed more cash reserves to feel confident hiring an experienced architect that wanted top dollar. So we had to put that on hold, and we learned a lot through that process. And we are currently embarking on our second round of trying to hire that next employee. And what we're learning now is that the timing, the current market shift could really work in our favor to help us find a great candidate.
Yes, unemployment is a little bit higher right now, right? Mm-hmm. But I'd love that you slowed things down. Let's slow it down. Let's look at cash before we start bringing, especially a higher ticket item or a higher ticket person, right? And kind of really slow things down. And then how about we roll right in talking about financial projections? So as a hustler and experimenter, a lot of times it's day to day, just what's in my bank account? I'm just looking at that and not necessarily looking at projections long-term. And Devin did want to add something on this. Go ahead, Devin.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask the question of to go back from hustler to experimenter. When was the time you just knew it was time to say, I had to get somebody to go from stage one to two?
That is a really good question. And I think it had to do with feeling like we couldn't grow our business and become the business we wanted to be if we were still wearing all the hats. I needed to find a way to focus my energy on marketing, business development, networking, and I couldn't do everything at once. And so we needed to bring someone in who was experienced at operations, running our business, doing production. And that moment was when we decided we did want to grow from a very small firm to a mid-sized firm.
Thank you for sharing that. It's like that moment when you see that dream and that passion, say, hey, this can turn into a reality if I go from here to here. And to do that, you have to elevate and delegate, which is that key stage that's so scary but so successful done right, right? Going from getting into that experimental phase. And it was really fun to hear Casey and Jamie tell that story on episode one when they talk through the hustler to experiment. And I look at my evolution of my business, the experimental phase is so fun because that's when, if you're a true entrepreneur and have 10 ideas before breakfast, that's when you get to go and try some of those. So it's super fun, but you got to talk about those financials to move on, right, Jamie?
Yeah, for sure. Especially experimenter phase as you start rolling into, I'd like to try this, especially if you're an entrepreneur that has 50 ideas before they even have breakfast, is that, is this profitable or not? And that's why our experimenter picture is someone, you know, pouring, it's like a chemistry set, is, well, let me try this service offering. And then let me look at the gross profit margin. Does this make sense? Should I continue doing it? Or should we just completely scrap this? And sometimes it's hard to do that because then you have to say that your baby's ugly. As I make a cringed face, right? And the entrepreneurs that have a large no-go portfolio, I say, are the ones that are most successful. So looking at those things, especially in that experimenter phase. So let's talk about cash. So in terms of just financial projections, I know, Nicole, we talked a little bit about this, is some people use them, some people don't. The ones I find the most successful are going to be looking at projections going forward. So looking at, in terms of your business, how you've used them in the past, how you've used them today, let's talk a little bit about that.
Honestly, prior to working with Cultivate, I did not do forward projections. I did backwards ones. I only looked backwards to see what had happened. And I had the ambition of having a budget and projections for my business, but I had never gotten to a place where not only did I, if I started down that road doing them, I didn't get far enough to actually have anything useful to help me move forward. So now we use financial projections in the example of hiring to decide who and when we can hire. And we've learned that when we look at our monthly expenses and our cash flow, that there are lessons in there to be learned about how we can make course corrections on how we run our business in terms of billing, timely billing, getting time entered, like mundane day-to-day activities that have such a big impact on our potential for hiring or buying new computers or anything we want and need to do, going to great conferences, all those things. We just looked back and said, oh, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. And now we're looking forward and feeling like we're making better decisions.
And a key thing she said is being open and honest with yourself and saying two things we don't have enough of, time and money. And you said, I didn't do that until Cultivate. Well, they have a proven process that you could plug into and have a Jamie to talk to help you fast track the stuff that us as entrepreneurs, you're an expert at the cannabis architecture world. You can't be an expert of everything else. That's where you need a Cultivate to come in and help you, not just look in the rearview mirror. The windshield's a lot more fun done right.
That's such a good point, Devin. If I could just add in a little story here, as I was working with a client initially, and I said, okay, let's dig in the financials. It's one of the first things we do, because if I'm holistically looking at the whole business, so I was looking at Nicole's whole business, I always start with the financials, because that's our engine, so to speak, of the airplane. What's happening there? Then we can start looking at marketing and sales and making suggestions. But if I don't know how much money's coming in and going out, then it wouldn't be prudent of me to make any suggestions. So I said, okay, let's jump in. What do you normally look at in a month? And she said, well, Jamie, I haven't opened my QuickBooks in, 9 months. And I was like, what? okay, that's cool. I'm like, what's your gauge? She goes, I just look at my bank account. I said, okay, all right, fair enough. We start digging into your QuickBooks, couple panic attacks, no problem. We take some breaks. We start breaking down the numbers. I've got a template. It's nice and easy, plug and play. We're putting numbers in. She was blown away by her profit margin. It was amazing. It was incredible. She had no idea. And a lot of resistance at first. Then she saw that. She's like, oh, that's really cool. And her camera would never come on. Like, we'd be talking, her camera would go on and off. And then I said, you know what? She's like, I've been thinking about getting a laptop. And I'm like, you can get a laptop. Look how much cash is available. She goes, I love this cash flow thing. What else can I get?
But getting over the fear to say it may be a good thing. You know, we're just scared of the numbers, right?
Yeah,
regardless of what they are.
And a lot of it has to do with our money mindset. You know, that's always something I kind of do, like a money mindset flossing with a lot of clients too. Let's slow things down and where are the fears and concerns. Let's hit those head on, especially with money. You can have like shame and some other issues. So let's hit it head on. And to this day, she is incredible with her finances, has come so far and made so many great decisions, or is able to, because like Nicole said, you know, listen, I slowed things down, looked at my numbers before I could hire someone. So that's awesome. So that's fantastic, Nicole.
Thank you. I think that the one other piece, I was inspired by your story, the one other piece that I love about understanding the cash flow and what happens when you want to move forward with purchasing something. For example, we purchased CRM software recently. And when you're focusing on just that purchase, it looks scary. But when you look at it in the context of, if I get one client for the cost of buying this CRM software, and the cost is, you know, a yearly cost, if I get one client, it's worth it. And it's looking at those different financial areas side by side to see that that's possible.
Sure. And return on investment. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with the employees, think about what you were able to do after you brought this employee in, how much that took off your plate. So then you could go out, do business development or processes and systems in the business, which Devin knows very well and has done very successfully in his business, knowing the value of that and how much more productive that you could be and grow the business. So one of the last couple questions here, Nicole, is when was the first time you realized you had to start saying no? You are in a niche for architecture, but in essence, you simplified your offering. When did you have to start that, and what did that look like?
I started it when I realized that our marketing and our cachet as architects needed to demonstrate that we specialized in a very focused way. And our clients were coming to us because of that specialization. And that was it was simply a marketing moment for us to understand that our clients wanted to know that that's the only type of work that we do.
Yep, that you specialize in it. And Devin, this is a phrase from you, but the riches are in the niches. And how many people, the clients I've worked with, and there's a fear, you know, of saying, I just do this. So this is another question, is that you specialize in cannabis facilities. Do you still have work come in that's not related to cannabis? And do you say yes or no to it?
We do not say, we say no to any work that is not cannabis related in merge architecture. I do have another business, but it is, my focus is merge because merge is of, has great potential because it's in an emerging market.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I have to just tell, the way I saw you, you were thinking on how to answer that. And that's good that you're really thinking through that. But the when you can have that 30-second commercial and have it dialed in and be able to switch hats and know your audience, that's key. So when you say the riches are in the niches, you could have 10 niches, but you better have a system behind each one of those. And that's where these stages, as I've been learning from Cultivate, are really valuable to say, where are you at in the phases, or maybe even within the business? You know, Jamie and I were in a group yesterday where we talked about culture, and culture was you can take that same thing and put it into departments or scalability or different things. And that's the thing about focus and a plan. Like, I love these five stages that we're going through.
Well, thank you, Nicole. I cannot thank you enough. Do you have any other words of advice, thinking about people listening who are hustlers, experimenters, they're working on the weekends, they don't know if they should hire someone or not, you know, cash flow, what cash what? I know it's in my bank account. Are there any words of advice that you would have, lasting words?
My words of advice are ones that I'm currently trying to teach myself or give to myself, and it is that delegating is not a natural state for many people, and it's a skill that needs to be learned, and you have to work on it very attentively to learn how to do it well, because I can't see myself making it beyond experimenter unless I gain this skill.
It's big of you for saying that. That's what we call looking yourself in the mirror and recognizing that stuff. So that's awesome stuff. So if the Art of Construction Tribe listening, we'll make sure to put links to your company in the show notes. But what's the best way to get to a hold of Nicole? Because the Art of Construction Tribe is global, all over the place, and now we have the leader of the tribe when it comes to cannabis architecture. How do they get a hold of you?
My email address is Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, at mergearchitecture.com. And merge is spelt M-E-R-J.
Why M-E-R marijuana?
You got it.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story and helping us be part of this deep dive series journey together.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. It's been very fun.
Thank you, Nicole.
Jamie, that's so fun to start hearing the stories of the group coming in and seeing where they're at. I can't wait to take these moments of time with a proven process and hear the rest of the story. So make sure, if you didn't listen to episode one, go check it out. Put them on the calendar. We'll be releasing in the show notes, all over social media. And the offer, it's really cool what Jamie and the team have put together, is that they've built a special website that is, let me get that website to you here, which is cultivateadvisors.com/AOC/. And it's a great webpage that we'll have on the show notes. But Jamie, tell them what that's all about as they're driving around or working out or whatever they're doing, getting pumped to go crush it out there.
Yeah, so this website is a great opportunity to jump in there, find a little bit more about Cultivate Advisors, how we've helped so many other small business owners and entrepreneurs in the construction space. You can even take a quiz on there, like what stage am I in? So you could take a quiz and find out, am I a hustler, am I an influencer, am I a visionary? And then you can then connect in and actually listen to that podcast. Why not? You can also click on a button on there that you can schedule a free advising session. We offer 2 free hours of advising to see if there's a good fit. And find out what are your goals and challenges and where you really want to take this business.
Oh, Jamie, I just can't wait for the next one. Art of Construction Tribe, make sure you subscribe and learn more about Cultivate and the journey that we're all going on together. Crush it out there, Tribe.